All right. Now, you notice as we were studying Judah and Tamar, that situation, Judah had three sons. The first two died because of the wicked. Well, you're going to see things of this nature going through this whole lineage. And at one point, this entire lineage will get down to one little boy, Joash. Be one person on the face of the earth. God had already promised that through the seed line of David would come the Christ. That one little boy had to live, and his grandmother was doing everything she could to kill him. And God preserved him, kept him, and he became king of Israel. Well, that's the sort of thing that's happening here. Doesn't make any difference what people do. Doesn't make any difference if it gets down to one person on the face of the earth. God's still in control. Remember Daniel chapter 4. God rules in the kingdoms of men. He's always in control. He's just as much in control today as he was then, too. He just doesn't deal with us in a miraculous way, but he's still, his power hasn't waned at all, hasn't changed, and he hasn't let go of anything. He's still in control of the kingdoms of men. All right, back to Matthew. Chapter 1 and verse 5 here. So, we were talking about the book of Joshua and Joshua chapter 2 on through chapter 6 and so forth. And through chapter 7. And the bringing about of Rahab into this line, a Gentile woman. A woman who was found by these spies, sent out two spies. They found one woman in that city. She was the only one that gave them aid. She had opportunity not to. She did so at the risk of her own life. And all of that brought forward the line of the Christ. One more step. Because one of the Israelite fellows, soldiers evidently, I would imagine he was, but at least he was a man of Israel anyway, came through, found her, married her, and they had a child. And his name was Boaz. Or, as Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 says in the King James, B-O-O-Z. And that same person, Boaz, or Booz, as it says here. Rahab. Now, notice the next part of verse 5. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Well, we remember about Ruth, do we not? We looked at the book of Ruth. Here, after the book of Judges. Turn over there. Now, Ruth, of course, was a Moabite. We look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Now, you notice it says in the time of the judges? What time does this put us into? Well, you remember that after Joshua died and the generation that outlived Joshua, the next generation, they all died. And then as we progress into the history of Israel, about a 400-year period in there, that would, it takes us down through Samuel, down to the time of Saul and David and Solomon, around the year 1000. So we're about 400 years ahead of that. We're looking at the time after Joshua and all of that time frame right in there. Time of the judges. Okay? There was a certain man. It says of Bethlehem, Judah. Well, what is Bethlehem, Judah? Well, Bethlehem, Judah is interesting. There's two Bethlehems in Israel. And it's the same one that in Micah 5:2 talks about Bethlehem Ephrata. The same one, Bethlehem of Judah, this is where the Christ would be born. Well, this fellow's from that. How, you know, how much that plays into part here is interesting. But anyway, this person is from the same place where the Lord would be born, Bethlehem of Judah. So he goes to the country of Moab, going to the Moabites. Well, where are the Moabites from? Them and the Ammonites were of the seed line of the two daughters that had sexual relations with their father, They brought forth two children, one Moab, one Ammon. And you remember that man?
Lot.
Lot. Who was Lot?
Abraham's
nephew. That's right. Okay, well, things are kind of coming back around here somewhat. Well, Ruth is going to be a Moabite. Well, she'll be married to one of the sons here of this man. The man, of course, will die, and her husband will die. Well, what will end up happening? Well, just to put it all together really quickly, they leave the land of Moab and return back to Israel. And Ruth will, of course, work. She says she pledges to her mother-in-law, Naomi, that wherever you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God, and so forth. They return back to Israel. They're in somewhat of a bad way. They're two widows. And so they go back to Israel. And there'll be this touching story of how Boaz ends up taking care of Ruth, even before they're married, taking care of Ruth. She's a hard worker, evidently a good woman. There's no doubt about it, even though she's a Gentile.
She's poor.
They're both poor. Why? Because they're both widows. They don't have men to support them. Well, there'll be all of the situation between Ruth and Boaz, and finally as we go close the book of Ruth, they'll get married. And that's a very tender, nice story.
He must be much older than her too, because he compliments her that she didn't run after the younger men.
That's probably true. Well, so we have the story of two widows. Sometimes we might think, well, God, it's just part of His plan. He's using offcasts and people who are in jeopardy and people who have basically no leverage in the world. He didn't pick all of these people out of the highest form in societies of Israel or the Gentile nations. He takes this widow woman out of the Gentile world and she's brought into the seed line of the Christ. I have two widow ladies here, cast off off in the land of the Gentiles. And their husbands die. Now you would think that Naomi and Ruth are probably, they are. They're pretty distraught about the whole situation. And well, they should have been. But God's able to preserve them and they're brought in to the seed line of the Christ. Well, God's working through all of these individuals and all these situations and all these years. Things that you wouldn't think of. Well, why would God use that? That's because God is able to see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. In other words, He sees it all. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or poor. It's who you are and that you obey God's will, and He uses that. And if any of these people that are in this process, if they decide to apostatize and go away from God and mess everything up, God's going to let them do that if they so desire it. He's just going to shift over here and go a different route because He can do that. He never ever, through all of this, all these people, He never violates their freedom of will, ever. They're all able to choose what they do. God takes care of the peripheral things, like with the little boy Joash. He wasn't old enough. He was just an infant when they hid him in the temple. But God's taking care of those peripheral matters. But He still allows everybody to go forth on their own freedom of will. Yes, sir.
He uses them just like He used the Assyrians and the Babylonians.
Much the way it amounts, yes. And He gives them an opportunity to do what's right. And we're thankful that a good number of the people in this line that we know about anyway, any detail, they were, quite a few of them were quite righteous men. We think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of course, and so forth. And David and the like. Okay, well, what's going to happen now between Boaz and Ruth? Well, they're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Obed. Well, we'll have to take another step here, and we'll just talk about this a little bit. It gets down to the time of David. And of course, that'll be very important because, David will be, he'll be a type of the Christ and so on and so forth. That's a very important thing, what happens in the life of David. And it's because of what he chose to do. And God was using him in those ways. So we have Obed coming of Boaz and Ruth. Again, this woman out of the Moabites, the Gentile woman coming in, poor widow lady coming in. She's part of the seed line of the Christ. Obed will marry and beget a son, and his name shall be Jesse. Well, we're going to find out a little bit about Jesse. Of course, we get down now to the time of Samuel. Well, Samuel's life is very interesting too. Because his mother, Hannah, I could just keep going. I'm going to have to stop. But Samuel's mother, Hannah, was barren. You'll remember, but Manoah was her husband. And she goes to the Lord and cries to Him, "Give me a child. And if You let me have a child, I'll dedicate him to You." And so she did. She raised Samuel to the point where he could be on his own. She took him to the temple and he stayed there and learned from Eli, who was a high priest. Samuel was a Levite. He was not of the seed line of Aaron, however. But he will be a judge. He will be a prophet in Israel. Be a great man. Samuel was a very faithful man. And so Samuel will come into the picture now. He'll also be the last of the judges. And he'll have an impact with David, because as a matter of fact, he'll be the one that will anoint David as king, even while Saul was yet alive. Samuel will have a big influence on Saul, and Saul will have a big influence on David, not for the better, of course, but it will allow David an opportunity to show his righteousness before the world, before all Israel and the world, and is recorded for us. So that's where we're at now. We've traveled now from the time of Abraham through all of these various generations, the number of generations here, down to the time now of David and his father Jesse. And it's interesting, when Samuel goes to Jesse to, "I want to look at your sons," David is the last. He's the youngest. He's evidently the smallest. And he's a sheep herder. He's a shepherd. And he's out in the field. And so we'll want to look at some verses right there because of what God says about that. And that teaches us what He's doing here. Because, and I'll just tell you basically what the verse says. God told Samuel, they looked at the oldest son. He was evidently quite the man. And God said, "No, I've rejected him." He told Samuel, "Don't you look on his greatness. Don't look on his stature, his ability. No, because when I look at a man, I look at what's inside. Not the outside. God knows what's in a man. And He knew what kind of man David was. So that's why He chose him. We'll look at that more as we look at the times of Samuel and Jesse and David. And that'll bring us into another section of these genealogies. Okay, any questions or comments? No? Well, I hope this will help you, to give you a little idea of really what it took to bring forth the Christ in the world. It was a lot. And over 1,900 years, the only one that could do this is God. He's the only one. That's what we learn here overall. Thank you.